Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Elizabeth City's online sermon series. Join us this week for Revelation chapter 18 with Pastor Nick Camp.
Revelation chapter 18 is where we find ourselves today. We've been making our way through the book of Revelation, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We've been studying key events and key people of the last days. Today we reach sort of a milestone in our study of Revelation. As we reach chapter 18, it is the last chapter of the book of Revelation that deals with the judgments of God. Thank you, Lord, right? So when we get next Sunday into chapter 19, we make our way through the next couple of weeks to the end of the book to chapter 22, we have nothing but a happy ending, we have rejoicing, and we have good things. So after the day, the judgments are over. So chapter 18 is where we find ourselves. If you're keeping up with the chronological timeline, just know that the chapters in Revelation, they're not in order, so to speak. Chapter 18 should be back a couple of chapters if you're studying it chronologically. You know, last Sunday we studied chapters 15 and 16. It was there where we studied the last judgments of God, the bowl judgments. What we're about to study today happens before the bowl judgments. So just know that. Father, we love you. Our Bibles are open to the 18th chapter of Revelation. We're asking for your blessing as we study and read your word today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me begin by asking this. What if the entire world as you know it, people, things, events, activities, were suddenly to collapse? What if your sources of comfort, luxury, and entertainment were lost forever? Sounds like a bad sci-fi movie, doesn't it? That kind of thought absolutely frightens people. And the reason why is because too much of our lives depend on the world continuing on just as it is. If we're honest, right? Nothing seems to devastate people more than destitution. Listen, you take away a man's money, and oftentimes you take away a man's reason for living. It's the truth. This was the case in 1929 when the stock market crashed. It was October 29th, 1929. It became known as Black Tuesday. When the stock market crashed, this world was plunged into the Great Depression. In the years to follow, the economy of the U.S., was nearly destroyed. Over 9,000 banks closed its door from 1930 to 1933. Production in U.S. manufacturing plants came to a halt, leaving millions of people unemployed. Not only that, thousands of people lost their homes to foreclosure. On top of that, many others lost their health to malnutrition. People who lived through the dark days of the Great Depression, my friends, their lives were changed forever through the hardships that they suffered. In the chapter that we have before us today, chapter 18 of Revelation, we are going to learn about an economic collapse that will occur during the last days that I'm telling you, it'll make the stock market crash of 1929 look like a joke. This economic disaster is going to be worldwide. This economic disaster and its scope is going to take away man's favorite gods, money, and possessions. So let's give our attention to verse 1 as we begin to see how God is going to judge the economic system of this world during the last days. Look at verse 1. We're told, "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory." Now listen, remember, John the Apostle is the one writing down the things that he's allowed to see and hear from God. Numerous times in the book of Revelation, we see an angel sent from heaven to deliver a vision so that John can write it down. That's what we see here. In verse 1, John tells us, he just simply says, "I saw another angel coming down from heaven." This simply indicates that John is receiving a revelation of a new vision. And did you notice this? Verse 1 tells us that the delivering angel, look at it, has great authority and was illuminated with his glory. Look, I don't want to dwell on this. I just want to make it absolutely clear. This does not mean that the angel has intrinsic glory. Not at all. This means when we're told that the angel was illuminated with his glory, we are told that it, or what it simply means is that he comes fresh from the presence of God. Excuse me one moment. The angel, my friends, is shining forth the radiating glory of God. This is similar to what happened to Moses back in Exodus chapter 34. When Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments on those stone tablets, we're told that his face shone because he had been talking with God. Moses' face was radiating the glory of God. And that's what we see here with this angel. It is radiating the glory of God as it comes fresh from the presence of God. So here's this angel from heaven, illuminated with the glory of God, and he's come to deliver a message. Look at the message, verses 2 and 3. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, and he has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Notice the first angel cries out with a loud voice these words, Babylon the great is fallen. The angel says it twice. Now listen. We have to come to an understanding of something this morning, or this entire chapter isn't going to make any sense at all. Now you have to hear what I'm about to say. Babylon was a literal city. Babylon was a literal empire. Babylon was also the headquarters for the enemies of God. We see that all through the Old Testament. My friends, Babylon was the place, or I should say it this way, the birthplace of idolatry. Babylon was the birthplace of false religion. And because of this, the name Babylon became known as it was a byword in ancient days, and it became known as worldliness and corruption and idolatry. But make sure you understand, although Babylon was a literal city, and although Babylon was a literal empire, Babylon is more than a city. It is an idea. Babylon is a philosophy. Babylon represents everything the world is that leads us away from God. Babylon represents everything that stands opposed to God and His will. Babylon represents ungodliness. Babylon represents immorality. And Babylon represents anti-God values. In the book of Revelation, when God wanted to describe the condition of this world during the last days, he did it by choosing one word, Babylon. Again, a place of corruption, immorality, and ungodliness. Now, follow me on this. In Revelation chapter 17 and 18, we are told about the destruction of two aspects of Babylon. Revelation 17, we see the destruction of false religion. In biblical terms, we call this religious Babylon. And we studied Revelation 17 when we studied Revelation 13 and 14. In Revelation 18, we see the destruction of politics and the destruction of the economic world system. In biblical terms, we call this commercial Babylon. And in our study today, I'm going to use those two biblical terms interchangeably, okay? We're going to use those two terms, economic world system and commercial Babylon, to talk about the politics and the economic world system during the last days that is going to come to an end and going to be judged. Now, notice what the announcing angel has to say about the economic world system during the last days. Verse 2, it has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. The implication here is that the economic world system during the last days is going to be energized and controlled by demons and by evil spirits. It's going to be vile. It's going to be corrupt. It's going to be morally wicked. This world will be totally influenced and charged by Satan himself. Notice verse 3. It's the latter half of the announcement from the angel. He says, "For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." This commercial Babylon system will seduce the entire world. It's going to steal the hearts and the minds of people from God. It's going to deceive men and women into thinking that accumulating money and possessions is the meaning and satisfaction of this life. Commercial Babylon deceives people into making materialism the passion of their life. Do you know people like this today? I do. They always need more. They always need bigger. They always need better things. We live in a world that is absolutely obsessed with money and possessions. We live in a world where the most entertained and imagined question among people is, what would I do if I had $1 million? Excuse me. We live in a world where many people are spending their hard-earned money buying things that they don't even need. We live in a world where people are blowing their money away on lottery tickets, trying to get rich quick. Increasingly, right? Friends, look around. We live in a world where commercial Babylon deceives us into making materialism the passion of our life. Now I want to be very clear about something. Very clear. This chapter is not a condemnation on making an honest living. This chapter is not a condemnation on making a good living. This is not a condemnation on making money. This is not a condemnation on having nice things. But listen to me. When money and possessions become the passion of your life, and when money and possessions steals your heart and your mind from God, that is when it becomes a condemnation. And that is when you become a victim to commercial Babylon. Now back to our text, as John was undoubtedly thinking about this announcement from this angel, his thoughts are suddenly interrupted by another voice from heaven. Look at it, verse 4. "And I heard another voice," John tells us, "from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities.'" The use of the words "another voice" there in verse 4, it just implies that the speaker is an angel like the one we are introduced to in verse 1. This angel echoes, his words echoes from heaven, and it's a warning for people to come out and separate themselves from commercial Babylon. And if they don't, the warning is absolutely clear. They will share in the sins of this economic world system, and they will share in the judgments of God upon this economic world system in the last days. Christians, we are called to avoid being caught up in this wickedness and in the midst of commercial Babylon. We are called to reject it, and we are called to separate ourselves from it. God expects his people to come out of this world system, to disassociate with it, and to be different. We are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." You do realize today that God expects us to be motivated by a different set of values. God has different values for the Christians. You know, and we see this, we see Christians all around the world who are trying to disassociate themselves with the world in the wrong ways. No one is telling you this morning to go build a survival hideout hut somewhere and stay in it for your entire life. No one's telling you this morning to go join a monastery somewhere and hide out from the world for your entire life. No one's saying that. Jesus told us that we are the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world there in Matthew chapter 5. We are to be in the world, but not of the world, is what the New Testament teaches. And the problem comes when we are influenced by the world instead of us influencing the world. My friends, God calls Christians to disassociate themselves with worldly things and to live by a different set of values. And again, we are to be in the world, but not to be influenced by the world. Verse 5 tells us just how wicked this economic world system will become. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities, is what it says. We're told that the sins of commercial Babylon will reach into the heavens. You'll remember something from our study of chapter 13. We discovered that the ancient city of Babylon is the same place of the city of Babel back in Genesis chapter 10. As a matter of fact, Babylon is the Greek form of the word Babel. So same name, same place. And it was here in the city of Babel that mankind rebelled against the Lord and attempted to build the Tower of Babel into the heavens. And when the man tried to build that Tower of Babel into the heavens, it was man's attempt to reach heaven by his own works. But you know the story. God intervened and man failed in their attempt to reach heaven. And here in verse 5, we're told that the sins of commercial Babylon will reach into the heavens. The implication here is simple. Babylon's sins are going to pile up like a new Tower of Babel. And unlike the first tower, unlike the ancient tower, her sins will reach as high as heaven. Notice at the end of verse 5, God has remembered her iniquities. This is the destiny of the wicked, materialistic, and economic world. God will remember their sins. God will remember their iniquities. But for the Christian, it's different. For the Christian, we hold a very valuable promise from the Word of God. Littered all through the Bible is the promise that God will remember the Christian's sins no more. Listen, consider the wonderful promise of God in Isaiah 43:25. He says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your, and I will not remember your sins. I don't know about you, but I've committed some terrible sins against our God. Not recently, back in the day. But I praise the Lord that those who are in Jesus don't have to worry about God remembering their sins. I praise the Lord for that. But continuing on, look at what else we're told about commercial Babylon. Verse 6, render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. And the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. This is intense. Sobering words there in verse 6. We are told, render to her just as she rendered to you. The ancient word render simply means to pay back or to give back what is due. God is going to give commercial Babylon exactly what it deserves, and that is judgment. Not only that, but it says there in verse 6, repay her double according to her works, and it says mix double for her. No mercy is going to be shown for this economic world system. God will measure out twice as much judgment on Babylon because of the enormity of its wickedness and sin. Verse 7, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. This wicked economic world system considers itself to be indestructible and beyond judgment. That's the understanding of verse 7. Commercial Babylon thinks of itself so powerful and so glorious that it is above sorrow and above judgment. So much so that it glorifies itself and lives luxuriously. But as powerful and as indestructible as it may think it is, the commercial Babylonian system is about to learn a harsh lesson. God is going to measure out twice as much judgment because of the enormity of its sin. What an irony we see here. I don't know if you saw it. I'll point it out to you. Commercial Babylon enjoyed glory and enjoyed luxury, but it's going to be brought low in torment and mourning. Commercial Babylon pretends to be a queen. Oh, but it's going to be brought low by the King of Kings. Commercial Babylon seems superior in every way. Oh, but it will be brought low by the one who has all power, all might, and all strength. And then look at verse 8. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. All of his power, all of his glory, all of his pride will not be able to stop the judgments of God. Did you notice? In one day, all that man has built, the entire world economic system, is going to be brought to nothing. God wants to drive this point home in this chapter because he repeats it over and over and over again. One day, verse 8. 1 hour, verse 10. 1 hour, verse 17. 1 hour, verse 19. God is making his point very clear. I will destroy the economic world system. I'm going to bring it to nothing, and I'm going to do it very quickly, very swiftly. God, you do realize this, right? God can bring the entire economic world system to a screeching halt in only a moment if he wants to. You do realize that. God doesn't need a process. The lesson for us here is this. Don't allow the things of this world to become your main passion and your chief security. Can I just say that again? Because some of us need to hear that this morning. Don't allow the things of this world to become your main passion and your chief security. Why would you invest your life into something that can be destroyed in an hour? Why would anybody do that? Jesus once said, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world but lose his own soul?" Jesus once said this as well. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." My advice to you guys this morning, your treasure, your passion, and your security, make sure it's in the right place. Now, when we come to verses 9 through 20, we see the reaction on earth towards the destruction of commercial Babylon. This gets intense. Look at it with me, beginning with verse 9 and 10. "The kings of the earth," this is the most powerful people on the earth, "the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, 'Alas, alas,'" that's an expression of grief. "That great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. All the leaders of the nations of this earth who have risen to power and prosperity on the back of this system, they are going to mourn over its destruction. Every economy of every nation on this earth is going to crash to the ground in a moment of time." Verse 11, "And the merchants of the earth," these are the people who deal with retail and wholesale. I like to think of these guys as businessmen, CEOs of great businesses and stuff. It says, "And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, Every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object, the most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall not find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, who became rich by her, will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing." Those merchants are the businessmen and CEOs of the great businesses of the world. And in an instant, their financial empires are brought to desolation. They weep and they mourn because no one has money with which to buy their goods. All of a sudden, all their goods, which were worth so much, are now worth nothing. Verse 12 tells us that the luxuries of life are out of reach. This is houses and cars, jewelry, and other fine things are all unobtainable. Verse 13 tells us that the basic necessities of life will be impossible to obtain. Spices, bread, meat, and other foods. Men are not going to be able to get these things when the economic world system comes to a crash. Verse 14 tells us that the exotic things that men long for, they're going to be taken away as well. Here's an interesting side note for you. I didn't see this until yesterday, and I wanted to share this with you. From verses 12 to verse 14, we have a list of the things that people are going to weep over when commercial Babylon comes to an end, when it's destroyed. First on that list is what? Gold. Last on that list is what? The souls of men. This reveals where the world system places its priorities. It elevates profits over people. Do we live in this kind of world today? I think we do. For a recent example, just look at the stores and the sales surrounding Black Friday. You are crazy if you think those stores care about your soul. All the sales, every store is all about profit. They care nothing about your soul. But you better believe there's coming a time when the merchants of the earth will see the destruction of this economic world system, and their reaction will be weeping, mourning, and wailing because they have invested their life, and that is where they have their security at. Picking up midway through verse 17, we're told, again, we have the reaction of the people of this earth. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." This verse tells us that all the people who made a fortune transporting and carrying the goods produced by this economic world system will mourn when they see its destruction. Why would they mourn? Because their source of wealth is taken away and they are left destitute. All hope of profit, all hope of prosperity is taken away in an instant. After we see the reaction of people on earth, we now have the reaction in heaven contrasted. The reaction on earth to the destruction of commercial Babylon is weeping and mourning and wailing. The reaction of heaven to the destruction of commercial Babylon, look at it, verse 20. "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." While the earth weeps over the fall of Babylon, heaven worships. Isn't this interesting? What brings sadness to the hearts of earthly men brings songs of praise to the hearts of heavenly men. This raises a question for us to consider. I would consider it a very important question, a question that some people even struggle with today. Should God's people rejoice over the judgment of God? Should God's people rejoice over the judgment of God? The answer, yes. Definitely we should rejoice. Now, we don't rejoice in the destruction and the loss that the judgment brings, but we do rejoice in the triumph and the exaltation of God and His righteousness. So make sure you understand, the destruction of this wicked economic system is good. And the display of God's justice and His righteousness, it's a good thing. Well, we come to the last few verses of chapter 18, the judgment of commercial Babylon, and we have verses 21 and 24, or 21 through 24. Look at verse 21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea. And he said this, "Thus with violence the great city of Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore." For a third time in this chapter, an angel comes on the scene. This third angel is seen taking a millstone and casting it into the sea. A millstone was a huge round stone used to grind grain. A typical millstone was 4 to 5 feet in diameter and about a foot thick. A stone of that nature would sink to the bottom of the sea very quickly, very suddenly. Wouldn't you agree? Notice the words of the angel after throwing the millstone in the sea. The great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The angel's actions and his words are symbolic of the fact that someday this economic world system is going to pass away. And when it does, it's going to be like a stone that falls to the bottom of the sea. It's going to be sudden, it's going to be swift, it's going to be violent, and it's going to be total. Verse 22, the sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall be heard in you, or shall not be heard in you anymore. Listen to this, no craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And I like this, and the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. Of course not, that millstone is at the bottom of the sea. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of a bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore, for your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. This is dramatic imagery. And in dramatic imagery, the Apostle John tells us that when commercial Babylon is judged and destroyed, life on this earth will be completely altered. Verse 22 tells us that there's not going to be any more music. Verse 22 tells us that there's not going to be any more craftsmen or manufacturing. Verse 23 tells us that there's going to be no more light of a candle. There's speculation there on what it means. I think what it means is that it speaks of habitation and home. You put a light in the window of a home and it suggests happiness and hope, and it suggests that, you know, there's a family there and everybody's doing well. All these things are taken away when Babylon falls. The homes of the world is going to be plunged into darkness and despair. Verse 23, look how intense it gets. Look how intense the earth is altered. Verse 23 tells us that there's going to be no more marriages. No longer will love bring hopeful couples to an altar to exchange their vows. There's going to be no more beautiful brides in their white dresses. No more nervous groomsmen in their tuxedos. No more flower girls. No more ring bearers. No more wedding bells. When this world economic system comes to a crash. This is what the Bible says. I'm not making these things up. Verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and all who were slain on the earth. Make sure you understand something. Every faithful martyr that has ever been killed has been slain under the power of this world system. God takes the persecution of his people very seriously. God takes the persecution of his people as a personal offense. You attack his people, you attack him. And God will avenge his people. He will bring commercial Babylon to an end. He will bring this economic world system to an end. And so as we've seen today, commercial Babylon is a very wicked place. We look around at the economic world system today, and we see a lot of wickedness and evil in the midst of it. But it's only going to get worse. Just today in this chapter, we learned that the commercial Babylon and the economic world system is going to become a place where demons dwell and where Satan rules. It's going to become a system filled with immorality. It's a system that is materialistic to the core. It is a place where sins are stacked as high as the heavens. It is a system that is totally proud and completely arrogant, thinking of itself as indestructible. It is a system that has deceived the nations and persecutes God's people. But there is coming a day when the wicked world economic system that has caused so much pain will be destroyed. And when it does, on what side are you going to find yourself? Will you weep when all of the rated R movies and all the rated R television series are taken away? Will you wail when the pornography industry is shut down once and for all? Will you cry out in grief when all the sources of comfort and luxury and entertainment are lost forever? Will you lament with the politicians and the world leaders and everyone else who is brought low by the destruction of commercial Babylon? Or will you rejoice when God finally brings justice? When he shows his power? When he vindicates his people? You know, the answers to these questions are very important. I hope you're answering them quietly in your heart. Because the answers to these questions show where your heart really is. Will you weep and wail and mourn when this economic world system is brought low? Or will you rejoice with God's people because God has brought his power and he has brought his judgment upon a sinful, wicked world? To which kingdom do you belong? That of Satan or that of God? If you are resting on the foundations of Babylon, be warned that they are ready to collapse and they are ready to be destroyed. That warning is very clear from chapter 18 today. Someone in here needs to hear that Babylon is going to be destroyed. Someone in here needs to step out of the world and they need to put their feet on the solid foundation, the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Somebody needs that. And then some of us need to acknowledge anew today that Jesus is our foundation. We are not trusting in the market. We're trusting in the Lord. We're not trusting in health insurance. This is where my wife and I have found ourselves recently. Our health insurance more than doubled for 2018. We can't afford the health insurance plan we have. And so now we're sitting here trying to find health insurance for our family. You know what the Lord showed me this week? We don't trust in health insurance. We trust in him. We're not trusting in government. We are trusting in the Lord. We're not trusting in ourselves. We are trusting in the Lord. And it is good for us to acknowledge these things. It is good for us to renew our faith and our commitment to the one who gave everything for us and the one who is the true foundation in this world. Guys, I'll say it in closing. I have been a part of this world, and I have seen what it offers. Many of you have as well. There is no meaningful thing that this world can offer that is worth leaving a relationship for God, or for God for. There is the only meaningful thing that is happening in this world is what God is doing through His people and through His church. So my friends, the warning before us this morning is that this economic world system that is around us, that so many people put their faith and security and hope in, it's going to be destroyed. This economic world system that has become the main passion and the security of so many people, it will be destroyed. So the warning has been heard this morning. Let us heed the warning and let us put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we love you. We love your word. We have heard the warnings of your word this morning, Lord. We know that commercial Babylon will come to an end. You will destroy the economy of every nation on this earth, Lord. And Lord, we want to say to you this morning, as a group of believers, as a community of Christians, we want to say that our hope and our trust and our faith and our security is in you, Lord. So Lord, would you honor that as we renew our commitment, as we renew our faith? Would you honor that this morning, Lord? And Father, I'm believing that somebody in here this morning, somebody listening to this message by way of CD or the website or our podcast, somebody needs to step out of this world. And they need to step onto the true, solid foundation of Jesus Christ. So would you speak to their heart, Lord, in a powerful way? Would you do it through the power of your Spirit? Would you do that, Lord? Guys, we're just going to take a moment and just respond to God's word today. We're going to keep our heads bowed. We're going to keep our eyes closed. But if you would just like for me to pray over you in response to what we've heard today in chapter 18, just raise your hand so I can see you. Amen. I see your hands back there. Anybody else? Amen. I see your hand. Amen. 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 I see your hand. I just want to pray over you guys. You know, Father, we have people responding to your word. I just ask that you would give them a hope. I just ask that you would hear their hearts. I just ask, Lord, that you would speak to them in a powerful way. Lord, as they acknowledge that our hope and our faith and our security is not in this world, but it is in Jesus Christ. Would you renew that faith and that commitment, Lord? We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Calvary Chapel Elizabeth City's online sermon series. Join us here next week as we continue through the Bible, book by book, verse by verse, line by line. God bless.